Leader this morning is Mark Brewer. Mark has been a member of LCUUC since 2010. He has two married children, one grandchild, and works as an IT manager at John Deere. My name is Lois Romikas, and I will be your worship associate for today. Today's order of service includes announcements of other upcoming church activities. We look forward to everyone joining in. To stay current on services, events, and activities, check out our webpage at lcuuc.org and like and follow us on Facebook. Please take a moment at this point to silence all your electronic devices you may have here with you today as we begin our service. Thank you.
Good morning. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the people around you this morning.
Blessed is the fire that burns deep in the soul. It is the flame of the human spirit, touched into being by the mystery of life. It is the fire of reason, the fire of compassion, the fire of community, the fire of justice, the fire of faith. It is the fire of love burning deep in the human heart, the divine glow in every life. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our opening hymn, number 1008 in the Teal Hymnal. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to bring a message of hope and grace to an imperfect world. No matter who you are or where you have come from, you are welcome here. We welcome those who have some of the answers and those who have none of the answers and those who aren't sure they're asking the right questions at all. As a UUA recognized welcoming congregation, we welcome and affirm all people, regardless of whom they love, or what pronouns they use. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service, and while you're there, find out more about our church. We're glad you have chosen to be here today to celebrate and worship with us.
can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. There's nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy.
One of the ways we care for the wider community is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items, which we donate each month. If you have food items to share, please bring them forward at this point in the service, or ask a child to bring them forward for you. And I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story.
Come down closer. Okay. Everybody sit or what? Well, today's story is called Feathers, and it's an Eastern European Hasidic folktale. And it's told in rhyme. A woman whose tongue was sharp and unkind was accused of starting a rumor. She was brought before the village rabbi protesting. What I said wasn't just humor. My words were carried forth by others. I am not to blame. But the victim cried for justice, saying, "You soiled my good name." "I can make amends," the woman accused. "I'll talk back my words and assume I'm excused." Can you talk back words? I don't think so. The rabbi listened to what she said, and sadly thought as he shook his head, "The woman does not comprehend her crime. She shall do it again and again in time." And so he said to the woman accused, "Your careless words," here, sit down, "cannot be excused until you bring my feather pillow to the market square and cut it and let the feathers fly through the air. When this task is done, bring me back the feathers, every one. The woman reluctantly agreed. She thought, the wise old rabbi has gone mad indeed. But to humor him, she took the pillow to the village square. She cut it, and the feathers filled the air. She tried to catch, she tried to snatch, she tried to collect each one. But weary with the effort, she discovered the task could not be done. She returned with a few feathers in her hand. I couldn't get them back. They scattered over the land. I suppose she sighed as she lowered her head. Like the words I can't take back from the rumor I spread. And so ends today's story.
May I have today's lantern bearer? May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. Please help join in singing the children to their classrooms. The song is called All You Need Is Love, and the words are written in your order of service. Offering will now be given and received. Thank you for these gifts and received for the work of this community. One of the reasons that we come together in beloved community here is to share our laughter and our tears. And we do this in several ways. Before the service, you're always welcome to silently light a candle on the candle table. And during the service, we speak aloud, and the worship associate lights candles for us. So would anyone who has a joy or a concern to share, please raise your hand, and then the ushers will bring you a microphone. Please limit it to a few sentences so that everyone who needs to speak has time to share.
Good morning. I would like you to light a candle of concern for all the Iraqi interpreters and helpers to the Americans who are trying to get into this country because they're threatened in their own right now. And some of them have been trying to get here for 8 years and still haven't gotten the visa to come.
This is Claire. I have both, a joy and a concern. My parents will be leaving for another bucket list trip to Antarctica and also Patagonia, and I just wish them safe travels.
My name is Rick, and I have a concern. My friend Jim went off his meds, and he's bipolar, and he's alienated everybody in his life. And I feel for all the people that he's hurt and for him.
Hi, this is Barb. Please light a candle for courage for all of us as we go through these uncertain times and hope that we can make it better.
This is Jerry. I have a joy. We have with us today our grandson, Jacob Ronberry, who's here to hear Mark.
And we light the last candle for those joys and sorrows which we hold deeply, which would have not been named here today.
I'll be reading a few excerpts from Chapter 7, The New Dream, Heaven on Earth, from the Four Agreements. I want you to forget everything you have learned in your life. This is the beginning of a new understanding, a new dream. The dream you are living is your creation. It is your perception of reality that you can change at any time. You have the power to create hell, and you have the power to create heaven. Why not dream a different dream? Why not use your mind, your imagination, and your emotions to dream heaven? Use your imagination and a tremendous thing will happen. Imagine that you have the ability to see the world with different eyes whenever you choose. Close your eyes now and then open them and look outside. What you will see is love coming out of the trees, love coming out of the sky, love coming out of the light. You will perceive love from everything around you. This is the state of bliss. You perceive love directly from everything, including yourself and other humans. Imagine that you have permission to be happy and to really enjoy your life. Your life is free of conflict with yourself and with others. Imagine your life without fear of expressing your dreams. You know what you want, what you don't want, and when you want it. Imagine your life without the fear of being judged by others. You no longer rule your behavior according to what others may think about you. You have no need to control anyone, and no one controls you either. You respect yourself and everyone else, and they respect you in return. Imagine living without the fear of loving and not being loved. You are no longer afraid to be rejected, and you don't have the need to be accepted. The reason I ask you to imagine these things is because that they are all entirely possible. You can live in the state of grace, the state of bliss, the dream of heaven. Only love has the ability to put you in the state of bliss. You are perceiving love wherever you go. It is entirely possible to live this way all the time, because others have it. They live in bliss because they have changed their agreements and are dreaming a different dream. Once you feel what it means to live in a state of bliss, you will love it. You will know that heaven on earth is truth, that heaven truly exists. Once you know that heaven exists, once you know that it is possible, it is up to you to make the effort to do it. Here ends the first reading.
Our time of centering and meditation will begin with There is a Love. It is printed in the order of service. It will be followed by a few moments of silence, meditation, and the spirit of prayer.
The prayer for freedom from the four agreements. Today, Creator of the universe, we ask that you come to us and share with us a strong communion of love. We know that your real name is love, and that to have communion with you means to share the same vibration, the same frequency that you are, because you are the only thing that exists in the universe. Today, help us to be like you are, to love life, to be life, to be love. Help us to love the way you love, with no conditions, no expectations, and no obligations, without judgment. Help us to love and accept ourselves without any judgment, because when we judge ourselves, we find ourselves guilty and we need to be punished. Help us to love everything you create unconditionally, especially other human beings, especially those who live around us, all of our relatives and people who we try so hard to love, because when we reject them, we reject ourselves, and when we reject ourselves, we reject you. Help us to love others just the way they are, with no conditions. Help us to accept them the way they are, without judgment. Because if we judge them, we find them guilty. We blame them, and we have a need to punish them. Today, clean our hearts of any emotional poison that we have. Free our minds from any judgment so we can live in complete peace and complete love. Today is a very special day. Today we open our hearts to love again so we can tell each other, I love you, without any fear and really mean it. Today we offer ourselves to you. Come to us. Use our voices, use our eyes, use our hands, and use our hearts to share ourselves in a communion of love with everyone. Today, Creator, help us to be just like you are. Thank you for everything we receive this day, especially for the freedom to be who we really are. Amen. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 179 in the Gray Hymnal.
Personal freedom and happiness. Isn't that what we're all searching for? Today we will explore the four agreements that can help lead you there. This service is the result of a winning bid of a silent auction item by Kathy Gorski. Kathy had mentioned to me that several people in the church had read the book and it resonated, so she thought it would be a good message to share for all. First, a little background about the Toltec tradition and the author, Don Miguel Ruiz. Thousands of years ago, the Toltec were known throughout southern Mexico as women and men of knowledge. Anthropologists have spoken of the Toltec as a race, but they were in fact scientists and artists who formed a society to explore and conserve the spiritual knowledge and practices of the ancient ones. They came together as masters, or Nahuals, and students of Teotihuacan, the ancient city of pyramids outside Mexico City, known as the place where man became God. Over the millennia, the Nahuals were forced to conceal their ancestral wisdom and maintain its existence in obscurity. Though it remained veiled in secrecy for hundreds of years, ancient prophecies foretold of a coming age when it would be necessary to return the wisdom to the people. Now Don Miguel Ruiz, a Nahual from the Eagle Knight lineage, has been guided to share with us the powerful teachings of the Toltec. Toltec knowledge arises from the same essential unity of truth as all the sacred esoteric traditions found around the world. Though it is not a religion, it honors all the spiritual masters who have taught on earth. While it does embrace spirit, it is most accurately described as a way of life, distinguished by the ready accessibility of happiness and love. Don Miguel tells of a man 3,000 years ago who realized through a dream that he and all of us are light, and that God was everything, and that everything was God. The real us is pure love, pure light, he said. Now, before we get into the four agreements, we need to understand domestication and the dream of the planet. The dream of the planet is a collective dream of billions of smaller dreams, which together create a dream of a family, a community, a city, a country, and all of whole humanity. The dream of the planet includes all of society's rules, its laws, its beliefs, its religions, its different cultures and ways to be, its governments, schools, social events, and holidays. The outside dream uses our parents, the schools, and religion to teach us how to dream. We learned how to behave in society, what to believe, what not to believe, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, what is good and bad, what is beautiful and ugly, what is right and wrong. As children, we didn't have the opportunity to choose what we believe, but we agreed with the information that was passed on to us. Every time we accepted this information, this was an agreement. This is called the domestication of humans. Through a system of punishments and rewards, we are trained to believe and do what is right and wrong. This domestication is so strong that we become our own domesticator. We are an auto-domesticated animal. Our inner judge bases everything on the laws and rules we have been taught. There's another part of us that receives the judgments, and this part is called the victim. The victim carries the blame, the guilt, and the shame. This makes it difficult for us to accept new concepts. We often judge them against our old beliefs. As humans, we have a great memory, and we use this to punish ourselves over and over for a single mistake. This is not justice. We create our own hell in our minds. All of humanity is searching for truth, justice, and beauty. We search for truth because we only believe the lies we have in our head. We search for justice because in our system we have no justice. We search for beauty because no matter how beautiful a person is, we don't really believe that person has beauty. During the process of domestication, we form an image of what perfection is and then measure ourselves against that. This leads to self-loathing, self-judging. We need to create a new dream. We have made thousands of agreements with ourselves that limit us. If we can see it is our agreements that rule our own life, and we don't like the dream of our life, we need to change our agreements. There are four very powerful agreements that will help break us, break all those old agreements that come from fear and deplete our energy. You will need a strong will to adopt the four agreements. But if you can begin to live your life with these agreements, the transformation in your life will be amazing. Instead of living in a dream of hell, you will be creating a new dream, your personal dream of heaven. The first agreement is the most important one and the most difficult one to honor. The first agreement is to be impeccable with your word. Why your word? Your word is the power that you have to create. The word is a force. It is the power you have to express and communicate, to think and therefore create the events of your life. Think of the power of the words of Adolf Hitler to affect millions of lives, or the message we heard in the story for all ages of the impact of our words. You see, the human mind is a very fertile ground where seeds are continually being planted. You plant a seed and it grows. During our domestication, our parents and siblings gave their opinions about us without even necessarily thinking about their impact. We believe some of these negative opinions, like not being good at sports or music or writing or school. We tell someone that they are ugly, they believe it, and they grow up with the idea that they are ugly. We spend our whole lives believing that we are ugly or stupid or not good enough. Impeccable means faultless, flawless, irreproachable. The Latin root means without sin. And a sin is anything that you do which goes against yourself. Being impeccable with your word is not using your word against yourself. Not just in what you tell yourself in your head. And I know for me, this is an area where all this negative self-talk, and many of you may struggle with it as well, can really limit us from what we can be. But as we talk to others, if I call you stupid, it appears that I am using the word against you. But you're going to hate me, and I have anger towards me, which in the end is not good for me. Gossip spreads negative things about all those we gossip about, including the loved ones closest to us. We internalize negative things said about us. Be impeccable with your word. This is the first agreement that you should make if you want to be free, if you want to be happy. Use the word to share your love, beginning with yourself. Tell yourself how wonderful you are, how great you are. Use the word to break all those agreements that make you suffer. You can attain the kingdom of heaven from this one agreement. Be impeccable with your word. The second agreement, don't take anything personally. If you agree with what others say about you, you take it personally. You agree and become trapped in the dream of hell. What causes you to be trapped is what we called personal importance, believing that everything is about me, when in reality, it isn't. Almost nothing that people do is because of you. Even when a situation seems personal, like a direct insult, it is simply the other person's opinion, based on their own agreements, that they received during domestication. Others' opinion is just that. It's their opinion based on their own experiences. If you can live without fear, if you love, there is no place for any of the negative emotions of anger, hate, jealousy, or sadness. You will then feel good. Everything around you is good. You are loving everything that is all around you because you are loving yourself. When we really see other people as they are, without taking it personally, we can never be hurt by what they say or do. Even if they lie to you, it is okay, because they are lying because they are afraid. If you can make this second agreement a habit, you will find that nothing can put you back into your personal hell. The whole world can gossip about you, and if you don't take it personally, you are immune. The third agreement is don't make assumptions. We have the tendency to make assumptions about everything. The problem is that we believe they are the truth. We make assumptions about what others are thinking or doing. We take it personally when we blame them and react by sending emotional poison from our word. It is always better to ask questions than to make an assumption, because assumptions set us up for suffering. Example, you're walking in the mall and you see a person you like. This person turns to you, smiles, and then walks away. You can make a lot of assumptions about this situation, but you really don't know what the person's intentions or motives were. Making assumptions in our relationships is really asking for problems. Often we make the assumption that our partner knows what we think we want and don't have to say what we want. We assume they're going to do what we want because they know us so well. If they don't do what we assume they should do, we feel so hurt and say, "You should have known." Often in a relationship, we make the assumption, "My love will change this person." But this is not true. Your love will not change anybody. People change only because they want to. This lack of change will lead to emotional pain. Real love is accepting people the way they are without trying to change them. Much better to find someone you don't have to change at all. The way to keep yourself from making assumptions is to ask questions. Make sure the communication is clear. If you don't understand, ask. The day you stop making assumptions, you will communicate cleanly and clearly, free of emotional poison. Without making assumptions, your word becomes impeccable. All human problems could be resolved if we could just have good, clear communication. Continue to develop this habit by asking questions and expressing exactly what you want. The fourth agreement, always do your best. This agreement is about the action of the first three. Always do your best. Your best is not always going to be the same. Your best may be great in the morning when you are awake and refreshed, but not as good when you are tired. Your best will be different when you are sick compared to healthy, or sober as opposed to drunk. As you build the habit of the four new agreements, your best will become better. If you always do your best, there is no way you can judge yourself. It is the action that is going to make you feel intensely happy. Doing your best is taking action because you love it, not because you are expecting a reward. Working because you love the accomplishment, not just a paycheck. If you work for just a paycheck, this makes your work life, which is a significant amount of time, miserable. Conversely, if you take action just for the sake of doing it, you will find your every action, you will find joy in every action you do. God is life. God is life in action. The best way to say I love you, God, is to live your life doing your best. The best way to say thank you, God, is by letting go of the past and living in the present moment, right here and now. Letting go of the past means you can enjoy that a dream that is happening right now. You were born with the right to be happy. You were born with the right to love, to enjoy, and to share your love. Don't resist life passing through you, because that is God passing through you. Say no when you want to say no, and say yes when you want to say yes. The first three agreements will only work if you do your best. Don't expect that you will always be impeccable with your word. Your routine habits are too strong and firmly rooted in your mind. Don't expect that you will never take anything personally. Just do your best. Don't expect that you will never make another assumption. Just do your best. If you do your best, always, over and over again, you will become a master of transformation. Practice makes the master. Everything you have learned through repetition. You're a master of speaking your language because you practiced. Action is what makes the difference. The Toltec path to freedom, breaking our old agreements. We are not really free. We stop ourselves from being free. If we could see a child of two or three, we find a free human. They do whatever they want to do. They are wild and undomesticated. And if we observe these humans, we find that most of the time, they have a big smile on their face. They are having fun. They are exploring their world. They are not afraid to play. They are afraid when they are hungry, when some of their needs are not met. But they don't worry about the past, don't care about the future, and only live in the present moment. But what has happened with the adult human? Why are we so different? Why are we not wild? What has happened is that we have the book of the law, the big judge, and the victim who rule our lives. We are no longer free because the judge, the victim, and the belief system don't allow us to be who we really are. The real you is still a little child who never grew up. Sometimes that little child comes out when you are having fun or playing, when you feel happy, when you are painting or writing poetry or playing the piano or expressing yourself in some way. These are the happiest moments in our lives when the real you comes out. When you don't care about the past or the future, you are childlike. But there is something that changes all that. We call these responsibilities. The judge says, wait a second, you are responsible. You have things to do. You have to go to school. You have to work. You have to make a living. Our face changes and we become serious again. If you ever watch children play adults, you will see their face change to the serious one. We are still children, but we have lost our freedom. The freedom we are looking for is the freedom to be ourselves, to express ourselves. But if we look at our lives, we will see that most of the time we do things to please others, just to be accepted. The worst part is that most of us are not even aware that we are not free. The first step towards personal freedom is awareness. It is important for you to master your own dream. That is why the Toltecs became dream masters. To be Toltec is a way of life. A way of life with no leaders and followers, where you have your own truth and live your own truth. A Toltec becomes wise, becomes wild, and becomes free again. There are three masteries that lead people to become Toltecs. First is this mastery of awareness. This is to be aware of who we really are with all the possibilities. The second is the mastery of transformation, how to change, how to be free of domestication. The third is the mastery of intent. Intent is that part of life that makes transformation of energy possible. It is the one living being that seamlessly encompasses all energy, or what we call God. Intent is life itself. It is unconditional love. The mastery of intent is therefore the mastery of love. In conclusion, you can achieve heaven on earth as described in the first reading. First, you must be aware of your domestication, your fears, your victim, your judge, and then you should practice the four agreements. 1, be impeccable with your word to yourself and to others. 2, don't take anything personally. 3, don't make assumptions. And 4, always do your best. If you want more information, this is a pretty easy and quick read. Don Miguel has companion workbooks and illustrated books, and lots of other materials is available as well. I think we have time for a polylogue today, if there's interest in that. A couple things about the polylogue. It is not intended as a question and answer session, but as a moment to share brief thoughts on the sermon or the surface topic. Please limit yourself to a few sentences so that all who wish to can speak. Due to time constraints, no materials written prior to the service can be read during polylogue.
Hi, this is Lynn. Thanks, Mark. That was great. So I'm part of the NVC, the Nonviolent Communication group here at church, and our facilitator brought Q-tips the other day, and that stands for quit taking it personally. So there you go. You can carry around a Q-tip and
Q-tip.
Remember that agreement. Yeah.
Quit taking it personally as your reminder. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you very much, Mark. This is Gus over here. I was reminded of Nietzsche when you were talking about the four agreements. Nietzsche has in Thus Spake Zarathustra plus Beyond Good and Evil talks about the last man. The last man sits on the couch and blinks and has become content with what he is as opposed to the overman, which is someone who has conquered themselves. But in the context that he's talking about there, reminds me of his talk about dance. Dancing is very important for Nietzsche, especially in music and art, because it's a creative expression. And for him, that was his spirituality that he developed, is one of creativity, one of childlikeness, and one of dance.
Thanks.
Hi, Mark. This is Al. Appreciate you introducing this book or reminding others that are aware of this book today. For me, the second don't take it personally goes against or had created conflict for me in anything that I was raised to believe before thinking about ego and taking it personally. So for those that may have shared the challenge that I confront, which is removing my personal premise that I'm important, that I have something to say, and when not listened to, get angry. That's an example of not taking it personally. I've found that when I am able to discipline myself to do that, to not take it personally, I'm not the carefree 3-year-old child you're talking about, but getting a little closer.
This is Eric over here. Hi. There are copies of the Four Agreements in the Sangha library, free for the checking out. The way to get access to them is show up on a Thursday night and write your name on the sheet of paper and take the book home with you. I also wanted to tug on one thread that got presented in your sermon. Thank you. Several times you mentioned the terms victim and judge. Those are terms borrowed from Hal and Sidra Stone. Voice dialogue is a way of exploring this interior languaging. And if the sermon's topic is interesting to people, I would encourage you to start Googling voice dialogue. That little thread unravels into a whole huge piece of fabric. It's well worth exploring.
Interesting. Thank you.
this is Dan. Sorry. The story of the feathers got me thinking. I work with high school students. You know, if you take those four agreements and you treat them like we treat fortune cookies, when we always say in bed at the end of each fortune cookie, and you say online, it really has a different meaning for this new generation of people where everything we say online really sticks. And if you read those four agreements again with the following online, it really creates a whole new conversation about how to have, you know, media etiquette and internet etiquette. Unrelatedly, just as a counterpoint to Mr. Haskell over there, I was raised in a family in which you're kind of like a bowl in a china shop. And so I think it's important to remember that if we live this carefree of don't take things personally, we have to remember that sometimes our actions really do affect other people, and we should be mindful of that.
This is Rick, and I didn't make it as far as Al did. I didn't make it to step two. About 10 years ago, I found this book, and I got hung up on being impeccable with your word. You know, sometimes I could make it maybe 3 or 4 minutes if I just stayed silent. as soon as I opened my mouth, it didn't work. And so, honestly, I kind of gave up on it. And this was maybe 10, 12 years ago, and I put it on the shelf for a little while, and then a few years ago, I pulled it back and said, well, okay, maybe I'm not perfect. And then I got on to step two and step three, and I didn't do those perfect either, but I finally got through and actually got to see step four. So I encourage you, don't give up. Thanks,
right,
Mark.
Right.
Great job.
Yeah, they're difficult, right? I mean, and you're not going to be impeccable with your word and not take things personally and not make assumptions. Like we said, I mean, you know, it's a multitude of change or transformation, right? And you're not going to do that day one, right? So it's a lifelong process, really. Couple over here.
Well, thank you, Mark, for presenting this topic. I think it's a very important topic. I am a bit confused, though, about the second point, which is to not take things personally. Is the author suggesting that we should not take constructive criticism personally? Because isn't that how we learn, by responding to constructive criticism?
Yeah, I mean, I think constructive criticism helps you get better, right? But not to take it personally as an attack on you, right? Right, as you're no good, Jerry, because you did that, right? That's where I think people get really into that negative emotion associated with it, right? They criticized me.
This is Scott. Mark, first of all, nicely done. I enjoyed it. It's interesting, as adults, you tend to think we're the teachers of our children, but sometimes they're the teachers of us. And our daughter, Jade, who is 11 and in sixth grade, we're finding out a lot of things about her sensitivity to how things are at school socially. You know, the popular kids, the not popular kids, and conforming and not conforming. And I think Chris and I are having to make sure we're very clear on our own minds about a number of things before we pass that along our thoughts to Jade about how to live a good life, how to be a decent person. And seeing these four agreements is really helpful. I think that's maybe not explicitly something we're going to pass under, but you know, the feel of it, the spirit of it, aspects of that. And one other thing is just kind of curious. I work for a fairly small school, small staff, and we're working very hard to develop collegiality and cohesiveness and that kind of thing. I've been invited to be part of a weekly Bible study. I don't know yet. I'm working on that one. But hearing the four agreements about being... what was that? The integrity? Having integrity with your word? Be impeccable with your word. Interesting to think about how that might go in that kind of a situation.
I'm curious, Just show of hands, how many people have read it? Kathy thought a lot, so that's interesting. Quite a few people. So hopefully I wasn't too redundant with what you already know. So I think with that, we'll wrap up the polylogue.
Of truth, the warmth of our community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn this week, number 6 in the Gray Hymnal.